Blog Talk Radio.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
And welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. One never knows. Hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow. Hey, Naomi. Hey, Pam. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello. How are you? I'm great. A little cold here.
I'm great,
but
yeah.
Well,
do
you have any snow yet, Pam?
Hello, hello.
No snow yet, Pam?
Oh, we have snow.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's about that time of year. It feels
yeah.
Cool, but technically it's not.
Yeah. Well, they always does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, Naomi, we have a caller on the line already. We have Ruth on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hi. Hello, Ruth.
Hi. How is everyone?
How are you? How are
you're
you tonight?
Welcome. I'm good.
Perfect.
Very good.
Ready to read and comment?
Sure.
Okay. Well, tonight there won't be a big intro to the show because it's all carryovers from when I did my last show on the art of Viktor Nizovtsev. I have a hard time pronouncing that name, but so it's all tonight. We have all the carryovers because we had a big show the last time. I remember we had a lot of callers, so we didn't get through, which was amazing. But we didn't get through a lot of right. So we'll hopefully continue tonight and get through most of them. So yeah, we have quite a few though left on the board. So whenever you're ready, I can just go ahead and post the first one, I guess, and get right into it. So I posted the first one, and Ruth, would you, since you're our guest, would you care to read that for us?
Am I reading the correct one, the reading birthday letters?
Yeah.
Or am I on the wrong page? That's it. Okay. Reading birthday letters. If I could have, I would have pushed that book in behind my ribs, there to be a second heart, full of vital lighting, life of pulse, and not this Ottoman plod that some great repulsive historical liar has written in the dictionary beside the word life. The world is astonishing, crushing beauty, huge terror beauty that savages you in pleasure, like the birth in reverse, it is coming. And dying and breathing all at once. The world is poetry. So why do we insist on worshiping these lesser gods, these crowned mundanities? Oh, great passion, my blood froths against the rocks of these bones, is only contained by the skin for necessity's sake. I never stop screaming from birth, some primal sound I share with the earth. While humanity can only whisper, shh, be quiet, this is a memorial. They are mourning the loss of something I still am. They have mutated without me. I scream at a different frequency and bleed an older, darker shade of red, not quite alien enough, but not the same either. Books are enormous, enough for my lonely, cavernous ribs. They understand the infinity of the interior. They echo. There is something broken in modernity, something that does not echo. It has lost the divinity of the drum. It is not divine. Do not follow it. End of poem. Hello?
Are you on mute, Naomi? Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
I'm on mute. Sorry.
You're on mute.
I was just saying that was an amazing read there, Ruth. Amazing job. And I really liked this poem. The poet based it on the prompt number 4, which was the Joker, who seems to be, you know, his head is down and he's in front of all these wheels that are turning. And so I thought it was a very clever and profound take on the chosen prompt here, you know, with, you know, the just the how life can be, hard at times, hard at going through the hardships of life, and the life turning from birth, and it's as if she, at times in the poem, she's going backwards, or he's going backwards, birth and then death. And so I loved how the poem went around and round. And I just loved the unique creativity of the whole write. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I think this is just an absolutely wonderful write by Scraps and Scribbles, who, by the way, is, according to his page, an English bloke. So, but anyway, a brilliant with the imagery and metaphors. I really like what you had to say and had to agree with you that there was this idea of the pain of life and trying to express it. I really also like how this is in finding ourselves and finding understanding through the written word. The world is poetry, so why do we insist on worshiping these lesser gods, these crown mundanities? It was a wonderful line. And then down to the end stanza, books are enormous enough for my lonely cavernous ribs. They understand the infinity of the interior. They echo. And I think putting they echo almost is like the end of that sentence works so well, because you can always find a book. You can always find a character who echoes what the pain that you have gone through in your own life. So excellent write and very well done.
Great observation there, Pam. We can, and through poetry too, echoes through our writing, echoes what's going on in our life. So very, very observation there. And Phil, your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm going to start charging people extra if they want my thoughts, too. Make me want to think. Come on, man. Listen, I think Scraps and Scribbles did a great job with this piece. I thought it was, a nice take on the prompt. It was a little different. It wasn't like cut and dry, like, oh, yes, I would have pinpointed that prompt. But it doesn't have to. That's the beauty of it. I thought there was awesome imagery, and it was a very well-expressed piece. I grabbed this stanza here as the lines because I was, looking for one I wanted. I usually do that, or I try to. But, oh, great passion, my blood froths against the rocks of these bones. It only contained by this skin for necessity's sake. And I took it down to the end. I thought that was just a very kind of a profound stanza there. It had a lot of heart and soul to it. In that respect, that was a great stanza, but I didn't think any of them were shabby, so I got to, tell the truth there. But well done, Scraps and Scribbles, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was drawn to that particular stanza myself. It's so powerful and thought-provoking. The whole piece is. And Ruth, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
I really like this. I think the part I like the best is, one of them, was stop screaming from birth, some primal sound I shared with the earth. I like that. It's like, to me, it feels like, Mother Earth. And so he's going back and going to where he came from. And then at the end of the poem, when he said it is not divine, do not follow it, I think that also is applicable to what's going on in the world today.
Right.
Mhm. Yeah. Great observation there. So true. Great comment there, Ruth. And so we're going to, and bravo, Scraps and Scribbles on the front page pick, by the way, on that right, bravo, so well deserved. Yeah. And so I'll put up the next right. And Pam, if you would like to read that, please, for me.
I would be happy to. All right. Let me just get back to where I need to be. And, all right. Bright in my sky by Blue Leader One. I never knew magic crazy as this. I never saw moons brighter or knew the meanings of such seas. Never held emotions so closely in my hands or felt the cool breezes from the tops of cedar trees. But now you're here, quick in my sky. It's been a long time that I'm waiting. It's been a long path that I've wandered along the known and unknown. Oh, if you would and you could through my eyes, would you love me if I had no money? Would you love me if I had no fame? Would you love me through the winters? Will you love me till the end? Oh, if you could, if you would, come blow your horn in the sky. I feel crazy magic open the door to my bliss. See moons as full and as close as a kiss. Know finally the meaning of my sea. Have this emotion tight in the palm of my hand. Feel sweet breezes flowing along the tops of sequoia trees. Now you are bright in my sky. End poem.
I just love them. What an amazing read, Pam. You know, and I just wrote that this felt, had such a beautiful flow that it felt like a gentle breeze across the page. You know, I was particularly drawn to that last stanza, you know, see moons as full and as close as a kiss. Know finally the meaning of my sea. Have this emotion tight in the palm of my hand. Feel sweet breezes flowing along the tops of sequoia trees. Now you are bright in my sky. Yeah, I just love that end of that stanza there, but all the way through, he starts with the word magic, and I think there was something just so magical about this whole poem, the feeling throughout it, but it was just a beautiful poem, and just an enchanting and loving poem. So, Phil, what were your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a beautiful write. Then I went and I had to hunt up the prompt. And what a wonderful picture that is. And I think that it made me like the poem even more. A wonderful imagery and thoughts throughout this poem. You know, I was drawn to that last stanza as well. You know, I feel crazy magic open the door to my bliss. See moons as full as close as a kiss. I thought that really summed up the prompt. Not that anything else was off the mark, but I thought that was really a great nod to the prompt itself. And just a beautiful, beautiful job there. So I want to thank you so much, Blue Leader One, for sharing with us tonight. Great, great piece. And really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome, right, for sure. And Ruth, your thoughts?
I think I'm on the wrong page. What was the name of that poem?
Bright in My
Bright.
Sky.
Yeah. Mm.
In the Late Night Poets Group?
In the Life Poets Group?
Late Night Poets Group.
Oh, where am I? Well, I thought it was a very beautiful. I like it when people talk about breezes. Somehow it reminds me of the ocean and how good it feels on my skin when I sit there, walk the beach, even if it's really windy. But it's even more caressing when the wind blows gently. It's calming to me. It's
mm-hmm.
very good.
Yeah, it is a soothing. It does have a soothing effect, the poem. It's so true. Great observation there, Ruth. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was just beautiful. It does have a tender and calming feel to it. I like the opening line, "I never knew magic crazy as this." It really, the whole poem speaks really well on the idea of the magic of both nature and love. And I particularly do like that second stanza, you know, "and you could see through my eyes." And then the questions, you know, "would you love me if I had no money, if I had no fame? And would you love me through the winters?" Winters being the older years of life, the end years of life, or just simply being those difficult and times that we go through and want someone who loves us no matter what. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome comment there, Pam. And for the next write, we have Eric Svensson up, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Betcha. Okay. You're ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
"Sun catches. Oh, with youthful Icarus, I dream in an autumn field. Spread myself out upon a heap of decaying leaves. The rakes of a different kind, our hearts pine for Cleopatra's burnished barge. Ever always we yearn to catch the sun, bathed within its glorious golden rays. Oh, Icarus and I are two pills in one oyster. Our passion would have us chorus line tap dance upon heaven's unreachable tessellated stairway. Golden top hats of Grecian curls, angelic aerodynamic wings hull. Too expedient, daredevil, sun catchers. Oh, unbridled youth refuses to lounge upon heaped autumn leaves, rakes of a different kind. We scorn this Sisyphus dilemma, refuse to remain gravity bound round and round by earth. With Cleopatra we barge sit upon a burnished throne, burn on water, the poop is beaten gold. O purple sails, so perfumed that the winds are lovesick with them. The oars are silver, three sun catchers we are, who refuse to learn by rote. To the tune of our own flutes we keep stroke. May golden, glorious sunbeams follow faster. Besotted, amorous, strident strokes of desire smite. O infamous soul wordsmiths, we know William's worth. Suncatcher rebels with a cause. We wander solitary, rehydrate parched souls as clouds do. Float on high, O vales and hills in search, until all at once we locate a crowd, a host of golden daffodils." End poem.
Oh, what a, you know, Eric always amazes me with his his mastery of the English language. Oh, my gracious. It's like every time. Pam, I'm going to let you comment because my cat is meowing her head off at my door to get in.
Okay.
So, so if you can take over the comments, start commenting and then follow, I'll go take care of my cat.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, this is absolutely stunning. As always, you've got amazing imagery, metaphors, and alliteration. I like how he compares himself to Icarus, the idea of someone who wants to grab the fullness of life, who wants to reach for the sun. I thought it was wonderful use of mythology. An excellent write. The main theme I got, one of the main themes I got out of it was the finding richness in unexpected places. I really like the phrase rakes of a different kind, and the reference to to Wordsworth was also very clever with wordsmiths, and the three sun catchers we are, who refuse to learn by rote to the tune of our own flutes we keep stroke, make golden glorious sunbeams follow faster. Wonderful lines there on refusing to fit into the box, to be what other people expect you to be. So excellent write and very well done. And Ruth, your thoughts on Eric's poem?
I really like the way he reads. It's nice. I thought it was a beautiful poem. The part that I think I liked the best was at the beginning, our hearts pine for Cleopatra's burnished barge. Ever, always we yearn to the sun, bathe within its glorious golden rays. To me, that's very powerful. And the imagery that he has throughout the poem is very powerful. I really like this poem a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
First, I have to hit the magic button. I thought that Eric did a wonderful job with this. Just beautiful work. His imagery is excellent throughout. Usual there. Eric is, he's always writes something kind of stunning, you know. He puts so much into it. But there's such a wonderful classic old world feel to this piece. Because as I was listening to him read, it felt like he was reading, you know, not per se, but like a Shakespeare piece, something of that thought, you know. It was just really super well done. And I really enjoyed the great piece. So wonderful job, Eric. And hey, I love the prompt too. Excellent job. Enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It has this old English, you know, the old-fashioned English flavor to it, like most of his writes do. I agree there, Phil. And, you know, and me too, I love the, you know, it's as if he has sun there and he's trying to find that everything or mention everything that's glowing, everything that's beautiful, everything that's out there, that's you know, that's in the sunlight, that's warm, that's beautiful. I'm repeating myself, and but me too. I also love the like Pam said, the reference to Williams Wordsworth, the poem The Daffodils, because that was one of my favorite poems growing up. And, you know, he recites it a bit, their flight on high or vales and hills. So, I just love that reference there at the end. So well done, Eric Svensson, and thank you so much for the SoundCloud. Just a reminder, everybody, any time that, you know, you can't call in, or and you have the possibility to make an audio you know, SoundCloud or a YouTube audio. It's so much amazing to hear your poetry in your own voice. So thank you for the SoundClouds. And with that, did I get the next poem between my cat and my running around here? I'm just going to check. Try and put something in the room. Yeah, I did. Okay. So Phil, this is a cute little poem. So Phil, whenever you're ready, if you could read that, please.
Well, I like the picture already. So beyond that, what's the complaint, right? Okay. This is for Ending With Me, Number Lee, Little Angel, by M. Sai Ulo the Don, I believe. Forgive me if I mispronounce that. Bubble bass and lantern cans, sitting alone in the meadow of the night sky's gland, holding tea and chocolate spree, as it is to me, the angel's Lee. I with the teddy, him close to the sun, moon has depicted upon this dawn, with the hope that the world will become a better tomorrow in this light of the pond. In the end, we will hope to see that this is my morning, in which I sing the la-la-la-la-lee, where the world will see its ending spree of the horror that is lightness be. Give it hope in the end of the sea, so that we may begin with the light of pleat. Bubble bath in the wish of me, till until the world is no longer broken in the sea. A Loving Me series poem, ending with me, Number Lee.
Yeah, you know, and it has such a beautiful message and profound message in this, you know, and a hope for a better world. I get out of it, but in such a playful manner, you know, just as that little girl there is in the prompt, such a beautiful right to that prompt. So bravo, M. Sai Ulo the Don, for an amazing, enchanting, delightful write here. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was definitely enchanting and delightful. I like that this comes across as that it is a poem that can be enjoyed by children and adults. I really like the choice of the name for the character, the la-la-lee. It's got such a wonderful quality to it in lines like, I with the teddy am close to the sun, moon has depicted upon this dawn, with the hope that world will become a better tomorrow in the light of the pond. You know, wonderful lines there, and the idea of how much children, you know, live in the moment and yet have this dreamy quality to them that they really, you know, really just venture into the land of dreams. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, it does have that dreamlike quality, that childlike quality to it. So great comment there, Pam. And Ruth, what did you think of this little poem?
I really liked it. I thought that it really had a lot of imagery and visuals, and I really like that in poetry, so that in a way, if I'm reading, I can get so engrossed in the poem that if somebody like knocks at the door or rings the phone, I'm startled. These poems are the type that get me enthralled. That was a very beautiful poem.
Mm. Yeah, it's an awesome comment. So true. And Phil, your thoughts.
Told you it's a good question. You want thoughts all the time. I thought this was wonderful. I really did. I really liked it. I liked reading it. I loved what it had to say, and I loved the manner in which it was done. I thought it was a sweet and well-written little poem, tender and loving, and I very much enjoyed it. So I want to thank you for sharing with us all Ulo the Dot. I think I'm still screwing it up, but I'm trying. Yeah, it was a great, great piece. I loved the prompt.
Awesome comment there. Awesome poem. So thank you so much to this poetess for writing for the show. And I have our next poem up. So Ruth, if you can, do you see it there? A Candle Hope by Mercy Arjun. If you can get that and give it a read.
Okay, I can't see it. I must be doing something wrong.
Just have to refresh your page.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, which page do I? I'm
well,
on the contest page.
And then
I want to be on.
Oh, you want to in the inbox?
Okay.
Where it's. You know, up on the top there where you have the two little squares, the speaking squares.
I don't see it.
Beside your name on the top of the page. Just
okay.
Click on that. Yeah.
Not on the gear, right? Okay.
No. You have the gear, you have your name, and then the thing after there, the little, click on that, and that'll open up the inbox, and you'll see the group there, Late Night Poets.
Okay. All right. I've got it. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be holding you up. So which poem would you like me to read?
A Candle Hope. Do you see it there?
Mm-mm, not yet. Is it at the, who is it by?
By Mercy Arjun. Do you see the group with everybody talking in it? The Late Night Poets group.
I hope I'm on the right page.
There you go. Let me send up a rocket here. Oh, good.
Well, perhaps someone else might look at it, read it, and then I'm trying to find
read it, and then.
And Ruth, I'm going to send you a message while Naomi's reading.
Okay. A Candle Hope. Mistress, she holds the hope for all, spreading light of her heart around and across. Evenings, she recites these words of love. No evil to touch her kith and kin, friends and foe. She portrays the aura of truthfulness, struggle to stand and move ahead with all, living and upholding everyone's dream, carrying colorful feathers, thorns and stones, many candles she lights in everyone's heart, minds to open the doors of arrogance and pride, with words and feelings of past melting away. She knits an umbrella of peace from fallen maples. Her orange hues shunning away the dullness, now mourning dress in many bright colors, her words adding new wings to everyone's dream. Happiness spreads like the creepers in wild. End poem. You know, the line that really hit me in this poem is she knits an umbrella of peace from fallen maples. I just loved that line. You know, it's so creative and so unique. And, you know, what a soothing, soothing rite throughout. You know, it's just, you know, on Mother Nature here that, you know, and the brightness that brings hope and love and kindness to everyone, you know. Just an amazing rite here by our Murphy Arjun. Such a delightful rite to the prompt. And Pam, what did you think?
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I really thought this had wonderful imagery and metaphors, a wonderful rite on Mother Nature. And not just that she's Mother Nature, but that she is within this rite, that light, that beacon of hope and kindness. I really like the use of the colors, and I particularly was drawn to the lines, candle, she lights everyone's heart, minds to open the doors of arrogance and pride with words and feelings of past melting away. There's that whole idea that Mother Nature is a representation of forgiveness. So wonderful rite and very well done.
Indeed. And Ruth, did you figure things out?
I found it. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'll get better, okay. I hope. I really like she knits an umbrella of peace from fallen maples. I knit and I weave and I spin, and I realized when I had gotten into that everything is interwoven. No matter what thing you do, you're weaving the whole world together. And it feels to me a warm, friendly poem. And then to see the prompt, that's just to me so much peace and trusting in a little light. And the girl, it seems to me, she knows, starts with herself, then she will enlighten the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like it says, candle she lights in everyone's heart. And that's because it's shining from her. That's what I feel. It's very lovely.
Yeah, great observation there. Awesome. Awesome comment there, Ruth. And Phil, your thoughts. Yeah, asking for your thoughts again. I'm gonna owe you money at the end of the show. Hello, Phil.
And I'm steady sitting here talking to you on mute, saying, "Yeah, penny for my thoughts, girlfriend. When you get this bill, you're gonna be surprised. I'm gonna make a bundle on this." But I thought this was a great brevity. I thought it was a wonderful imagery throughout, creative and well penned. And I had to put in quotes in my comment, angelic. There was something really sweet about it, with wonderful thoughts. And I'm with you. As soon as you repeated that line, she knits an umbrella of peace from fallen maples. That is a beautiful line. A beautiful, beautiful line. And I have to say thank you for sharing. I really thought it was a great piece. So, awesome job, Mithri Arjun. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome, awesome, awesome poetry tonight. So I'm going to put the next write up. And there it is. And this is Yesterday's Smile by Poetic Creation. So, Ruth, do you see that one?
Yes.
Okay, go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. And, you know,
no problem.
even with the knitting thing, it reminded me of eagles. You know, they'll birds, they weave their nests and things together. And I just really like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday smiles.
people rarely take me seriously, but I'm serious about making everyone laugh and smile to superfluous extremes. Time is a pearl encased in at least a three-whorl shell, golden spiral, gold filigree over silver turquoise glow, red and white, passion and purity balance desires. Green is growing, and royal blue turns baby blue in time. Revolving masks, my mechanical side mocks all industry. Heart hangs heavy. People are always busy with their tasks. Cogs and gears, cogs and gears, spinning cycles void of joy and laughter. Cold machine needs shutdown, impending doom. Time is counting down. Rose and butterfly, blossoming like flights, canceled due to storms. Nightingale shivers from the nightmare of this scary reality. End of poem.
Awesome read there, Ruth. And, you know, I really, really liked, the take on the prompt that Poetic Creations chose. Again, the Joker with the you know, you see all the cogs and the gears in the back of the picture, you know. Well, he actually chose two prompts. But, you know, excellent, you know, view or vision of the prompts that he put here on the page, you know, of those cogs and gears ever going and never stopping, and just the cycle of life, you know, just life spinning, you know, spinning sometimes out of our reach. Life is spinning out of our reach, and we can't catch it, and we can't catch all our happiness because we're just so busy running around like crazy people, you know, working and, you know, trying to get everything done and, you know, just not seeing all that, you know, that can be caring and loving and happiness in the world. So amazing write here by Poetic Creations. Very profound write, very thought-provoking write. And Phil, your thoughts.
Well, I think that PC did a great job with this. I loved his intro stanza, and I thought there was great imagery, and it was penned. But the intro stanza, people rarely take me seriously. I'm serious about making everyone laugh and smile to superfluous extremes. Time is a pearl encased in at least a three-whorl shell, golden spiral, gold filigree over silver turquoise glow. You know, it did. It had wonderful imagery throughout, and I thought that was nice. You know, I love when a poet can paint a picture with their words, and it evolves in your mind as you're reading it. And I always think that that's a wonderful gift. So thank you, PC. I think you did a great job with this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. He always has such a... thought-provoking writes, usually PC does. So amazing. Thank you so much for writing for the show. And Pam, your thoughts on PC's poem?
Well, this is a beautiful and heartfelt write. It has wonderful use of color and imagery. I like how it touches on the idea of how people are too busy to take time to notice each other, to really pay attention and to take time to ask someone how they're really feeling behind the masks that they put up. I did particularly like that stanza starting with revolving masks, my mechanical side mocks all industry, heart hangs heavy, people are always busy with their tasks, cogs and gears, the constant movement and never time to really appreciate life and appreciate each other. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome comment. And I noticed, you know, the way you say cogs and gears, you know, that repetition in that poem is so, so important. It gives it, you know, so much. And, yeah, I want to say hi to Amy and on the board. Hi, Amy. Thanks for listening in. And, yeah, I have our next poem up, which is Angel Seat by Ruby. And whose turn is it to read? I don't know, but Pam, I think it's your turn. So, Pam, can you read that?
Right. That works for me. All right. Angel Seat by Ruby 2446. Bewildered, she sits, unsure of everything, unless you have felt the pain. It is inexplicable. Each breath a marathon to eat and drink, just habit, sleep lost, forgotten, a fuzz of nothingness for brain. Every beat a reminder that she is broken in the golden air of autumn that should be balm to the soul. She walks a lonely walk of step after step, each day at noon, a solitary figure hidden by plain clothes and umbrella. No one knows, no one sees, the victim crying inside, dying inside. The park near home as far as she can venture, the seat that she sits on every day for hours since it happened, seems to draw her. She sits and tries to be invisible. She doesn't understand it, but here, just here in her despair, the only flicker of light in her life seems real. She doesn't see it. It's the strangest feeling, as if angel breath enfolds her, as if an aura accepts her when she can't accept herself. She just sits every day, her life and her mind destroyed, but yet here the tears give some relief, as if a warm breeze kisses her grief. She could never explain the softening effect just resting here on this same bench has on her despair. Day and night, round and round in her head, the event that has broken her heart runs like a film reel on repeat, except here, where she is granted peace just to be. A cocoon of something takes the edge off, calms, gives respite from the guilt she feels about the night she couldn't stop him attacking her. Every day she sits a little longer in the embrace of, as she thinks of it, her angel seat. And poem.
Yeah, this was, you know, a very emotive, touching, beautifully written poem. You know, on the despair that inhabits one to the very core of their soul. You know, we feel every word an ache for this character, so well composed, you know, and so well written to that prompt, you know, with the angel in the background there. Just a beautiful, beautiful write here by Ruby. I think she poured out her soul into this one. So it's such a beautiful job. Ruth, what did you think of Ruby's poem? Hello, Ruth? Hello. Did we lose Ruth?
I don't think so. Hold on.
Are you on mute, Ruth?
No.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Welcome back. Yeah, I can hear you. What did you think of Ruby's poem?
I really liked it. Even though it was about a very serious subject, she made it, you know, she made me feel the effect of the angel, like it was just hovering over her and protecting her, even as she herself was comforting herself in the only way that she has found to be able to do that. And it's a very deep poem to me, but yet and still, it's a calm, what do I want to say here, a calm, I can't really think of the word, but it's, to me, there's a calmness about it, even though the top, you know, like she has calmness in herself. Because she's able to do this now. I really liked it, and the imaging is really wonderful.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Ruth. She's like in the, you know, in the feels in her erection there on that bench. You know, she feels that. Yeah, I get that, what you're trying to say there. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is a powerful and emotive write, and such a sad ending. The lines at the end with the guilt that the victim often unfortunately feels. Despite not being at fault. I really like the imagery she used in this, and the lines, the park near home as far as she can venture, the seat she sits on every day for hours since it happened seems to draw her. She sits and tries to be invisible. Those lines just really hit hard. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Those lines are particularly very, very powerful indeed. Great observation there, Pam. And what did you think of Ruby's poem, Phil?
You know, I thought it was an awesome story here. Well told and nicely penned. Tugs at the reader's heartstring. A beautiful job with this. I took it from a cocoon of something takes the edge off, calms, gives respite from the guilt she feels about the night she couldn't stop him attacking her. Every day she sits a little longer in the embrace of as she thinks of it as her angel seat. And, you know, you can feel that she's enveloped by the calm, in that space. You know, that space just gives her that serenity in that place and time. And if I could find that somewhere, I'd stay there for a long time too. Every day, a little bit longer. I would definitely be drunk in it. I think we all would if we could find a space that made us feel okay about things. And I thought she did an excellent job with this. So wonderful job, Marion, and thank you for sharing with us. Great work.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome poem. And, I have our next write up. And I think it's my turn. Is it my turn? No, Phil. Phil, if you can read this by S. Sharp.
She says, it's my turn, guys. Got that? That was a perfect poem for me, too. Perfect poem for me. I charge extra for reading, too, by the way. This is called The Fall. That's sharp. Sometimes even God puts the paint on too thick. Strokes with a heavy brush, way heavy upon man, where golden leaves fall like man. Like man alone, pondering what has come and gone on the wind from the wings of angels. And poem.
Yeah, what a great little brevity that says so much. You know, this is so cleverly thought out by Scott here, Scott Sharp. Each word laid down on the page is so it has a purpose. An amazing brevity that compares autumn to the downfall of humankind in such a powerful way. There's some wonderful, wonderful lines here, pondering what has come and done, on the wind from the wings of angels. That's so beautiful. And And Ruth, your thoughts?
It reminded me of the movie Michael, about the wind.
Yes.
When the wind came at the end and blew his feathers away. To me, it's a very light poem, yet there's a heaviness in it underneath because of the fall of a man. I really liked it. It's very intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A short poem, but very, very powerful indeed. Awesome comment there, Ruth. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is absolutely a stunning brevity. I really like the opening line. Sometimes even God puts the paint on too thick. I like how he used the metaphor of the falling leaves to represent the fall of mankind, and the way he personified the trees with the line like man alone pondering what has come and gone. So excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome job, Scott. And Phil, what did you think? Oh, did I ask?
You know, I thought it was...
Oh, no, you read.
No, you made me read it. No, I'm kidding. I was double reading because I'm doing both.
No, I'm going to make you comment.
That's right. I'm super here. Uh-huh. I charge extra. You know, I thought this was just a beautiful book to me. An excellent job by Scott. And as I read it, I could... This is sounds sort of strange, but maybe not. You know, sometimes even God puts the paint on too thick. Strokes with a heavy brush. In my head, I actually could see a brush stroke. Something about just the way he put it together, just the imagery was great, and it definitely painted that in my mind. Painted brush strokes, you know, what can I tell you? Where golden leaves fall like man. And, yeah, I love that... that cross effect, that crossover effect there, the golden leaves and man. That was wonderful. But this is just a fabulous piece. You know, there's no wasted lines in here. I want to say, oh, I like this. But, you know, I would have to read the whole thing, and that would be kind of redundant. But I already read it once. I have to charge you twice as much if I read it twice. But, Scott, this was great, and I really appreciate you sharing this one with us. A wonderful job. Excellent piece.
Awesome brevity here by Scott. Thank you so much. And I have our next piece up, President Prescient Coy, and by Freya. And Pam, if you would like to give that a read, please.
All right. I'll be happy to. All right. People should mute themselves when they're typing, please. Just a friendly reminder. Thank you. All right. Present Coy by Freya. Lateral lines reading precedent braille ripples remnants of future thoughts. Present Coy. To speak or to think, can we sense the difference in the thickness of time and water displacement with fins and sand, formula adapting to changing circumstance, variables, exponents, denominators of evolution? Do we ever sleep continuous musculature of awareness, cognates without shells, naked, fleshy, vulnerable, tough leather, soft heart, synthesizing distant memories held in water, never separate from another, moving patterns, abstract slipstream, poetry's ink, watercolor blends, imagination, brush strokes, grasses moving in light, lily pad parasols, green platforms for emerald torch singers, chirping into night's chorus. Caddisfly larvae, armored tanks, underwater, martial artists practicing their moves. Tasty mosquito larvae hide in the shadow of an open, still mouth. Dragonfly debutantes make their sacred entrance in the open sky. Bulrush tufts pulled open pillows for tiny calliope chicks hatched from Tic Tacs. We extend our fins in silence, one with every moment. Milky Way reflects new life squeezed here from tomorrow's moonlight. End poem.
Yeah, wow, what an amazing, amazing write here by Freya. You know, the imagery and the metaphors are just, you know, out of this world. Dragonfly debutantes make their sacred entrance in the open sky. You know, bullfish tufts pulled open pillows for tiny calliope chicks hatch from Tic Tacs. I thought that was so unique. You know, the way that she used language, but Freya, you know, she has so much talent. What did you think, Ruth, about this poem?
Well, I really liked the line about tough leather, soft heart, that whole paragraph there. It just, I think that paragraph softens the whole poem, even though it isn't a dark poem. For some reason, it just says, you know, it just says to me that I can imagine the brush strokes and the grasses moving and the like to see all the other things that are in there. She really has a talent for observation and then putting it down on the paper. It's really great. I really enjoyed this poem.
Oh, yeah, so much so. Yeah, a gift for observation is true. She has amazing, amazing imagery throughout here. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Oh, this has beautiful and brilliant imagery. I have to agree. She has a wonderful way of attention to detail. I like this exploration of life at a pond, you know, at all the little insects, you know, and I particularly like with fins and sand formula adapting to changing circumstance variables exponents. That whole stanza speaking on not only evolution in a, you know, a natural sense, but also the idea of how we learn and grow and evolve as people in our individual lives. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome observation, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Actually, I want to let you know Dexter is on the line, and I'm going to excuse myself and do the Be Right Back that I started to do before. And I was really
okay.
Home. I really enjoyed it. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Dexter.
Hi, everybody. Glad I could be here.
Hello. Welcome. We're missing a man's voice tonight. So you get all the man's.
I figured so.
So did you get a chance? Yeah?
That's what I just said to Phil in the green room. I said I might as well be the only guy on the show here tonight. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Four ladies to yourself.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to hear Freya's poem?
I didn't, but I just was reading it, and it's just incredible language used throughout. It really flows along in itself with the short little lines. you know, I think the maximum is 5 words per line, and it's just really incredible language and a literary art form. So I just thought it was a very well done piece.
Mm-hmm. Great, great comment there, Dex. And, you know, awesome, awesome poem here. So thank you so, so much, Freya, for writing for our show. And I have our next poem up by Garden Delights. Oh, I should have put up Guy's poem up. Yeah, you can read that, Dex, for us.
Not a problem. So this is Garden Delights, Rural Gentry in Autumnal Finery. Delicate amine in touch, refined as sugar cane beneath milling stones, garbed in fury marigold tresses with an orange sherbet glow, a gift of her aristocratic family, cultivation is tamed, elegant submission like the tulips in her mother's secret garden. Her pursed lips gently blow, coaxing a minute flame, a minute flame, a little higher. Though a dainty light illumines her genteel woman, this genteel woman, an implacable with lives where rivers run deeply, she nurtures the candle for its fire's sake, grateful that it keeps cavorting shadows at a bay, gathering the gritty ends of her courage, tunneling safely within them. She heads for her mom's heirlooms roses, saturated in sweet fragrances, Our Lady breathes entirely of the ambience of strong-willed flowers, aware she is one of them. End poem.
Oh, that was an awesome read there, Dex. And, you know, what an elegant and delicate and such a remarkable and beautiful poem, written with so much grace. The descriptions, the imagery is so beautiful. You know, she, as that art is, you know, as the art is, she penned a beautiful, beautiful piece from that prompt, Garden Delights did. And Ruth, what are your thoughts on Garden Delights poem?
I do like the prompt. I started to write, but it wasn't this prompt, and I didn't realize that the contest had closed, but that was one of them I really liked. It seems like it gives a lot of hope, and yet, like at the first line, the delicate. And it seems like these poems are very delicate, like dragonfly wings. But there's something solid underneath that is like the body of a dragonfly, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I like it because the little light illuminates her face, and then it just, her hands, and again, she lights her own candle in order to spread her own light of healing and love to others, because in the end, where it says a strong-willed flower is aware she's one of them, that's a very strong statement. And what Garden Delights to me is saying, you know, the girl can do it. She, the things that she went through, She learned it, and it like it went in her heart, but she didn't let her life turn her bitter. She she's a very nurturing person.
Yeah, like those strong-willed flowers, aware she is one of them. That she says at the end of the poem there. So very well stated there indeed, Ruth. Great comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
This has just stunning imagery and metaphors. I really like how it's a story, right, about a young woman who grows up in a cultured family who is probably expected to behave in certain ways, but she's discovering her own inner light, her own strength, and her own free will. I really like the imagery in the second stanza, and I particularly was drawn to she nurtures the candle for its fire's sake, grateful that it keeps cavorting shadows at bay, gathering the gritty ends of her courage. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Ah, yes, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment there, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts. Are you back? Oh. Maybe she isn't. Are you back, Phil? No? Well, Dexter, what did you think of this poem that you just read?
Yeah, I thought that this was brilliant. And what I got out of it was just the overall evolving into womanhood and the strength that it carries, and we kind of discover is kind of the overall just togetherness that women kind of share in the struggle, and to finally evolve to realize what it is to be a part of it is what I kind of got out of this. And I just thought that this was just a beautiful take on evolving into just the strength that a woman has.
Mm-hmm. Great comment there. Awesome observation. And evolution of the woman into somebody that has great strength. Amazing comment there, Dex. And I have our next poem up, From Shadow to Shadow Beneath the Moon by River Blue. And Ruth, if you see that, can you give that a read for us, please?
Thank you. And this poem, I was looking at the note, it said this was a front page pick a month ago. So that's really exciting. The name of this poem is From Shadow to Shadow Beneath the Moon. Autumn enters as a seductress, lifting her hymn to take her first steps across the celestial sphere, accompanied by plum-shadowed clouds that few find as charming as baby blue. Northern winds take her arm as she glides through forest in a russet taffeta gown. Trees swoon and covet what she has to offer as she transforms the emerald jewels of summer to amethyst pendants and citrine lockets, armlets of topaz, and sweets of rubies. The weight of that finery, dripping like charms from every branch, pirouettes in the breeze till it free falls to the ground, becoming a vibrant Persian rug for the forest floor. We stand anxious beneath the canopy of change and feel the earth shift in its autumnal equinox. As it begins to tilt away from the sun, night comes fast. People gather round their hearths to enjoy fruits of their labor produced in hot summer months. Mountain lions and red foxes, insulated by extra food to prepare for chilling winds and long, rustling nights pounce from shadow to shadow beneath the moon. Silhouetted against a Matisse blue sky, the strongest trees don crystalline couture and make music when frigid gusts waltz through them. Finest fur and cashmere cannot keep you warm if autumn touches the brow of a summer soul too soon.
Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful read there, Ruth. And you know what? Of course, first of all, the imagery is, you know, just amazing. The use of color and metaphors also, you know, throughout the poem, just amazing. This is a beautiful, heartfelt write, you know, about autumn. And, you know, in that final stanza, you see that, you know, the full extent of the meaning of the poem there. I think, you know, that death is always near, you know, it's always there. And, you know, just a brilliant poem here written by River Blue. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is amazing. I thought it had wonderful imagery and metaphors. It was a beautiful, heartfelt rite that personifies autumn and reminds us that for some people, the end of life comes far too soon, especially from the perspective of those who missed them. I really liked the stanza that talks about preparation and, you know, chilling winds and long rustling nights pounce from shadow to shadow neath the moon, silhouetted against a Matisse blue sky, as strong as trees don crystalline couture. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh yeah, so true. You know, amazing, right? Well, she was my silver winner here. I had quite a job, you know. I didn't know. I just, this contest just laid there for a whole month, and I didn't know which way to go. There were so many amazing rights here. Too few places to fill, you know, winners to pick, places to fill. But Dexter, your thoughts on this poem?
I loved this. You know, this the way that she embraced the fall image and the amount of angles that you tackled it from. I can appreciate so much the amount of thought you had put into this, because it tackles every piece of it that happens when the fall comes, all from the mountain lions and the red foxes and insulating the extra food to the obvious things as far as the leaves and things of that nature. But you know, the music when the frigid gusts waltz through them. This is just a stunning poem, and I think that it pairs and matches with an absolutely stunning painting. So very well done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And has Randy joined us?
Yes, I'm here, Naomi.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the show. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday evening.
Thank you. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get you to go right to work, Randy. I'm going to get you to read our next poem by Amy, who's out on the board. She was out on the board. So this is Leaving by A.R. Mundell.
All right. Leaving. My soul can see the bluest skies, the fog which brings the dawn, the dewdrops pearls on verdant lawns, even the wind which sighs, the colors of the autumn leaves in hues of golden rue, crimson maple edges where russet veins run through, the quiet rays of sunlight caressing all it sees, murmured whispers of the trees which shake in wintry breeze, the glint of white high overhead, a bird not yet at sea, drinking in the verdance before the flight, taking it to flee. I lease my spirit to the breeze, to view the world as she, and as we pass between the trees, the leaves can join with me. My coat takes on the mossy fronds, my trousers soak the earth, and as my leaves fly freely, the world becomes my girth in poem.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful read there, Randy. You know, this had such an enchanting flow. You know, this was deserving of a medal so much. You know, the beautiful imagery all the way through. You know, just like a free spirit. You know, and I found it was like it would make a wonderful lyrics to a song, or, you know, it was just so enchanting, the flow, just so song-like, you know, so wonderfully well-written. I lease my spirit to the breeze to view the world as she, and as we pass between the trees, the leaves can join with me. You know, just such beautiful rhythm and flow here throughout. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved this poem. My soul can see the bluest skies, the fog which blends the dawn, the dewdrop pearls. It just really encompasses the feel of this poem, of the abstractness, and I really enjoy that it almost is like it puts you in that state of this poem that can be taken a lot of different ways, but it really really hits home on an amazing take on it. So very well done. I enjoyed the angle of it.
Oh, yes. Amazing comment there, Dex. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. It had brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how it's that idea between the connection, wonderful rhyme and flow, the idea of the connection between the human spirit and nature. I really like the imagery of the glint of white high overhead, a bird not yet at sea, drinking in the verdance before the flight takes it to free. And then I lease my spirit to the breeze to view the world as she. I thought was wonderful lines, and the idea of putting yourself into the mind of the bird and soaring. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, thank you. Awesome comment there, Pam. And, yeah, awesome observation. And Ruth, what did you think of this poem?
I really liked it. The artist, and I don't know how to say his name, so I'm not going to butcher it, but he has a way of drawing these deep emotions with his paintings. They're all beautiful, and people have a running theme, you know. I see a running theme with all of these poems, and somehow or other they all go together. I like it when it says, even the wind which sighs, where russet veins run through, and the quiet rays of sunlight caressing all it sees. To me, you know, all this has to do with energy, and it just, I think it's a poem to me of hope, that if we let go, and where she says, I lease my spirit to the breeze, and if we let go, it'll be just that easy. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a free spirit. Yeah. A wonderful comment there, Ruth. And Randy, you read that so beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yes, I also, I thought that it flowed wonderfully, told a really interesting story from beginning to end. And I thought it was very unique in the fact that it had a wonderful strain throughout it that led from beginning to end to catch your interest. And I found it unique in the fact that each one of these stanzas could stand alone on their own, and yet they were easily connected to each other and told this wonderful tale. It's very well written, and I enjoyed reading it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a beautiful, beautiful read. So I'm going to put up our next poem. It's a SoundCloud. Dex had to go. So bye, Dex. And thank you so, so much for stopping by. And I'm going to put up our next poem. It's a SoundCloud by a Hall of Mindfulness. And then, Randy, I'll put up your poem. Okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
So whenever you're ready for the SoundCloud.
In all its ordinariness, laying ourselves bare, naked of stories, of masks, awareness shines on who we truly are, powerful, limitless. Pulsating with love and gratitude, feeding off one another's gifts, all connected by that very awareness. Once recognized, the personality, a localized form, is free to excel in this truth, to give without expectation, to receive without concern of worth. All of life's experiences welcomed, no pushing away, no false positivity, no drama or prejudice, less judgment and bias. Simply loving life as it is living, unadulterated direct experience in all its ordinariness, in all its wonder. End of poem. Sam Hall, Hall of Mindfulness.
Oh, this is just, what an amazing, amazing write this is. You know, it's almost like spiritual in a way. You know, this is so a powerful rite on laying bare our very soul, beautifully composed. Just bravo, bravo on this rite. Like I said, you know, there weren't enough prizes, medals to give away because rites are just extraordinary. And Ruth, what did you think of this rite?
It kind of blew me away. I almost cried. It really touched me. I really like the line, to give without expectation, to receive without concern of worth. All of life's experiences welcomed. This is just, I don't know what it touched inside of me, but like you said, it's a very, very powerful poem, beautifully executed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, indeed. Amazing comment there, Ruth. And Pam, your thoughts?
This is brilliant. It's beautiful imagery and metaphors. a wonderful opening line, laying ourselves bare, naked of stories of masks. The idea of just being truly honest and truly free, not only with other people, but also with ourselves. I also like how this speaks on the idea of finding beauty in the everyday and learning to embrace each other and to love life to the fullest. So beautifully written and very well done.
Ah, yes, indeed. And Phil, are you back with us? Or no? Okay.
She hasn't seen anything in the room.
Okay. So I'm just going to put up, Randy, I'm going to put up your poem.
All right.
Just pop it in here. Okay. So whenever you're ready, my dear, you can give that a read for us.
Okay. Mine is obviously based on the picture, and it's called Faces. There are various agents within the king's court serving different purposes for the king's support. Personal courtiers performing their official roles, royal clergymen who minister the king's soul, along with maidens who add some needed beauty, each one carefully handpicked to fulfill this duty. Royal trumpeters announce the arrival of guests while flags abound bearing the king's family crest. His Highness as a favorite from among them, someone he can rely on through thick and thin. When times are bad and the king is feeling down, guaranteed to lift his spirits and remove a frown. His trusted court jester, there with the joke equipped, his comical bags full of gags, all within his grip, willing to perform in a new exciting incarnation with a face that's appropriate for each situation in poem.
Oh, what an amazing read, Randy. I'm so happy you phoned in. I know you were working late. So happy you phoned in and we got to hear that, you know, in your voice. You know, what a beautiful rhythm and rhyme this has. And, you know, what an amazing write to that prompt there. You know, this is full of amazing detail and imagery all throughout. Just a beautiful, beautiful write. And Pam, your thoughts?
I thought this was an amazing write. It did have great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I like how it brings us into a historically accurate look at the royal court, especially the jester, the court fool. I remember watching this video on YouTube that I found absolutely fascinating, is that the jester wasn't just about, you know, entertaining the royals. He was often a confidant to the king. He was often when there was difficult or bad news to be delivered, it was the court jester who often delivered it, because, you know, it was often known that, you know, that he could get away with saying what other people could not. He could get away with making fun of the king, with delivering that bad news and not getting, you know, stabbed or beheaded or hung. And I really liked the imagery in the second stanza, and of course that last, his trusted court jester there with joker quip, his comical bags full of gags all within his grip. And the end line, with a face that's appropriate for each situation. The court jester, all in all, was known, at least from what I've watched and what I've read, for being an extremely intelligent person, because they really needed their wits and knew, had to know what was appropriate for every situation. So I just thought this was a wonderful attention to detail and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Amazing, amazing poem here, Randy. Amazing comment, Pam. And Ruth, your thoughts on Randy's poem?
I thought it was very well done. I liked the phrasing. I think that I had read about, you know, if the jester didn't please the king, he would get rid of him and get somebody else in there. So it wasn't like, was it Pam said, it wasn't like he was just, you know, there to joke around and make everybody jolly and happy. I like the phrase, along with maidens to add some needed beauty. I think that's really neat. And royal trumpeters, it reminds me of when they blow the trumpet, when they did for the queen. And now they do it for the king. It's a very beautiful poem. Very well written. And I really liked it.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing comment there, Ruth. Amazing, right? Thank you so much, Randy, for writing for the show, and for the contest. It's so, so appreciated. What a beautiful write. And I have our next poem up. I have our next poem up, which is 1111 by Mary Campbell. And, yeah, I'll go ahead and give this one a read. I guess I haven't read for a while. So this is 1111. I breathe and kneel at the foot of myself. Withering drips of autumn alight the air and fall as leaves on my mother's swollen front. I am there within the red, beating blood, and I am here on the gravel, worn by tires, on my back wings bleeding from that fall, so steep from the sky of my before. I am spread naked from birth, the stones bearing my fragile weight. I am the wind that teases winter from the bark. It is 1111, a number signals my joining, skin to grow around the first feather and to succumb to the autumn grass, to learn to perish like the bud withering, shivering on that metal ground. For what is more divine than learning in that fall to die? We are both sipping coffee in the hub of our words, falling in love with the dead oak of the table in one another's eyes. Moles of winter have snared my wings, but yes, in this cup and in your smile, I have relearned how to fly. I am here splayed on the ground. I am there in my mother on 1111, and I'm everywhere when I alight the autumn air. One final time, be mine, be mine. End poem. And I'll let Pam, can you comment and lead comments for a minute?
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to. Well, with the repetition of 1111, I'm guessing the prompt had something to do with Veterans Day. And either that or the November 11th had a different significance to the poet. There is the wonderful imagery and metaphors. I am spread naked from birth, the stones bearing my fragile weight. I am the wind that teases winter from the bark. It speaks so much of that line there on what it's like to be human, on what it's like to be fragile. And yet at the same time, you know, I don't know if it's literally the wind, but I'm taking it metaphorically. A person who is the wind is a person who has a free spirit, a person who likes to travel. I also really like the question, for what is more divine than learning in that fall to die? That idea of dying to ourselves, of becoming something new, something powerful, something not powerful as, you know, but something that gives up oneself for other, someone who gives up themselves for other people. That just strong emotive lines, thought-provoking and beautifully written and very well done. And Ruth?
Well, I'm just amazed because for me, this artist just, he really draws these, all these poets and poetesses, he draws a lot of the same things, but they manage to, you know, say it in their own way, and it all comes out so beautifully. I mean, his paintings are so stunning, and the poetry is so well matched to the prompt. I'm very impressed with all of them, and this was a beautiful read and a beautiful poem.
It really was. It really was. It was beautiful. And I am looking at the prompt. I did not realize that prompt 11 was the angel laying on the flowers. I don't know, going back to my original thought, if it had anything to do with Veterans Day. But,
it's her birthday.
It's her birthday. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I read down in the comments. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, that's actually my nephew's birthday, too. So happy belated birthday to her.
Yeah. So that's her birthday. And, you know, it's wonderful poem about, you know, being reborn and looking back on one's life, you know, just coming into a lot. I saw in one of the comments that, you know, 11-11 is like the two sides of a door that you pass through. It looks like a door.
Cool.
Do you get it? And, you know, so I found that comment was really neat, too, you know. You know, it's like she's passing through that doorway, passing through a threshold, you know, with the 11-11. So that's kind of neat, too. So I hope all the things are really neat about this poem. Just a wonderful, wonderful write all throughout, you know, amazing. Very powerful and very thought-provoking write indeed here by Mary Campbell, I guess. So amazing, amazing write. And we have time for, let's put up a new one. I forgot to get that. I'm going to put it right on the board. And this is comptabilité. What is that in English? How do you pronounce that? Comptabilité by Mark Lupi.
Compatibility.
Compatibility. So,
yeah.
So, Ruth, go ahead and read it.
Okay, let me get through it. The name of the poem is Compatibility. Is there any way can we wander off on separate paths and still be in love? You're just so smart. I never would make sense. It's hard to take all this difference. The chains and dangling stars you wear, the bags of blood and dreams I'd like to share, me sleeping at the bottom of a pool, you dancing in a spinning, pulsing jewel. An outdoor witch, you wander by the streams, I shuffle chips in dungeon poker games and fool around to make the cards attack while you use cards to watch the zodiac. You like to twist the dials of the stars while I hang out in zombie bars. You like to help the others. I don't care. On the other hand, I'm always there. I mostly only love in theory. You always love the universe's story. In rendezvous, I'm mostly charcoal fire ignited by your luminous desire. Whee! That's a then a poem. That's a good poem. I talked to him the other night about his poetry. He's very talented, as all of them are, but it was fun to read it when you know you've had a conversation with someone. I hope I did it justice.
you did amazing, amazing, right? Would you like to go ahead and comment on it, Ruth?
Oh, I just, this makes me feel like the girl that he's in love with, she's a wild, like, gypsy type person, and he's so enamored of her that he sees all these things and calls her an outdoor witch, and I think she has him under her spell, and I don't know. I think that you know, differences draw each other to each other, and somehow if you really love that person, as indicated by the poem, I think you can work it out. If you really love somebody and you're different, you can work it out.
Yeah. In some cases, yeah. Well, if it's really true love, yeah. This is a beautiful composition. And, you know, what struck me is, you know, how well thought out it was and how, you know, every sentence flowed one after the other. It seemed to be, you know, so well thought out. I loved, you know, the which you know the cards attack and the poker games and the cards to watch the zodiac, and you like to twist the dials of the stars while I hang out in zombie bars. You know, I love this, you know, that those lines in the poem. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this had clever lines. It was a delightful write on the idea of opposites attract, and wondering if you're too opposite for each other and if you can truly make things work. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Amazing write. Thank you so much, Mark Loopy, for writing, you know, for the contest and for show. And put up our next right. And Pam, if you can read that, popping it in right now. Okay. By Rain 474.
All right. Over the Impossible by Rain 474. As the golden arms of hydrogen ball crawls back to the horizon point, Persian blue blanket spreads its carpet while the ebony mat unfolds its brilliance and the shimmering ocean unfolds its sublime portion. As the golden mermaid with long curly orange hairs takes her seat on the throne of a floating lotus leaf, witnessing so many lights floating on the surface dark, uplifting the hopes of people who haven't had given up yet, lighting a candle of positive cheers that was lost somewhere in fear, reviving the dying soul, holding the pearls of alacrity, as she surrounds herself to the worthy crowds of possibles and poem.
Another amazing write here by Raina 474. She takes her seat on the throne of a floating lotus leaf, witnessing so many lights floating on the surface dark. I just love that, the way that she phrased that, on the surface dark. A wonderful write to that chosen prompt with such a beautiful flow. And, that was a beautiful, beautiful read, Pam. Just an amazing write here. Ruth, what did you think of this write?
I thought it was very uplifting. And I like the way she described things. It has a very, to me, it has a very soft feeling when she says Persian blue blanket spreads its carpet while the ebony mat unfolds its brilliance. The imagery is real, really well in this poem. I just like it.
Oh, yeah, beautiful, beautiful imagery indeed. And I'm just going to go and see it. Yeah, the prompt 5 is like the mermaid, sitting by the river with all the lanterns on, and she's there just sitting, with pearls in her hands and just looking out onto the sea. And a beautiful, beautiful write to that prompt, to that arc. And Pam, your thoughts on the write?
Yeah, this had just wonderful imagery to it. I thought it was an excellent write on the idea of finding those possibilities that let the spirit soar. I particularly like the imagery in Persian blue blanket spreads its carpet while the ebony mat unfolds its brilliance. Wonderful description of nature, and beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. And so we have, we don't have time. I won't put another one in. Pam, do you have any upcoming shows you'd like to? Well, before you, I just want to announce shows. I just want to thank Ruth for being there with us tonight. Just amazing having you help out, read and comment, and just pure pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you so much, Ruth. And
thank you for allowing me.
Yeah, well, any time, you just phone in and we'll be so happy to have you. And thank you to Dex and Randy who phoned in, and for Pam for being there, and Phil and Amy for hanging out on the board. So thank you so much. And Pam, do you have any upcoming shows you want to talk to us about?
We most certainly do. And as always, make sure to keep an eye out for the topic boards and contests put out by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. You can join Naomi and Diane for Keeping It Brief tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time is Keeping It Brief. And then you can join Naomi and myself for The Art of Seduction at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Of course, poetry readers and commenters are always welcome.
Well, I appreciate being allowed to join your poetry groups as well, and all the help that Naomi, Sarah, I appreciate you doing that for me.
No problem. I know it's hard to get your way around in the beginning, but once you start to figuring things out, it goes well. So thanks, everybody, again, and this was a great show, amazing poetry. So thank you, and good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.